Welcome back to another episode of In Time Crime. I am your host, Robin Bagayoko. Good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully you guys are doing great today. It is a wonderful day. Wonderful day as always. Let's keep it positive. God is good all the time. Won't he do it? He sure will. Now, today's date of discussion is going to be March the 23rd, 1860. We're throwing it all the way back. We're going real vintage. We're going real old school. Okay? And today we're going to discuss Anne Bilansky, who was the first woman to be put to death in Minnesota. Yeah, she's the first woman to receive the death penalty and the first white person to be executed by hanging. So what did Anne Bilansky do? We will find out in just a moment after I give you guys just a quick message. As always, I would like you guys to follow on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, join the Facebook group. I'm still working a little bit of kinks out for that, but you can still join at the moment until we figure everything out. Also, if you are having any issues with finding the pages, the link to everything is located in the description for this audio. Okay? Thank you so much. I would really appreciate you guys so much for doing that. Also, don't forget to tell a friend, anybody else that you know that likes to listen to podcasts, just go ahead and let them know, you know, I listen to this podcast, blah, 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 blah. Just let them know how you feel, you know, and just give me a listen. Give me a chance. You know what I'm saying? Just tell them to listen to me. There's plenty of podcasts out there, but I would appreciate a good listen, okay? Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell another friend. Okay, now today, like I said, we're discussing Anne Bilansky. Okay, now Anne was originally, this is her married name. She was born Mary Ann Edwards White, and she goes by her middle name, Anne, because as you can see, her first name is Mary. And she was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina in 1820. Okay, so she stayed in North Carolina for a moment, for a while, for several years. This is where she also lived with her first husband, who unfortunately died from a railroad incident. Okay, so shortly after that, she moved to Pleasant Hill, Illinois. And then finally, she settled in St. Paul, Minnesota in April of 1858. She came there basically for her nephew, John Walker, who was suffering from typhoid fever. A little moment after that, being in Minnesota, she met her second husband, Stanislaus Bilansky. Please excuse me if I mess up that name, but we're going to shorten it. We're going to call him Stan. Okay, Stan Bilansky. That's her second husband that she met once she moved to Minnesota. Now, Stan was poor, but he had a little bit of change coming in because he had a little cabin that he ran as a grocery store and a bar. So he had a little bit of change coming in, but, you know, back in the day, I guess it ain't booming like grocery stores nowadays and a bar nowadays. You be getting paid in the shade. But unfortunately, that's not how it was back in 1958. And so Stan was broke. Stan was poor. Okay. Stan also drank very heavily. You know, being poor can cause you to have depression. And a lot of people that go through depression tend to drink often and heavily and a lot. You know, that's just not everybody that drinks heavily is actually going through depression, but most of the times that's what leads to heavy drinking. So besides that, He also had custody of his three young children, who he got left with after his second wife divorced him. So Anne was basically taking care of the children, either when Stan was feeling ill or whenever he was working. So she was probably like a good mother towards the kids. Okay, now between March 6th and March 11th, unfortunately, Stan started to feel very, very sick between these days. And basically, they thought it was indigestion. So he was consuming alcohol and also taking Gwaffenberg pills. His condition did, however, get worse and worse. And it is said that Anne was by his side, crying all the time, saying, "What am I going to do? What's going to happen with the kids?" You know, basically feeling like, what is she going to do without her husband? And unfortunately, on March 11th, Stan passed away. Now, once the funeral was taking place and they were leaving from the residence to go to the cemetery, basically the coroners arrived to conduct what was considered an inquest. So they asked the doctor to examine the body, and the coroner's jury was assembled to hear testimony from John Walker. This is coming straight from Wikipedia, y'all. Okay? So three people were questioned about what happened to Stan, which included John Walker, who is Anne's brother, a neighbor named Lucinda Kilpatrick, and the housekeeper named Rosa Scarf. So after their examination, they determined that basically Stan died of natural causes. But they also were wondering, why was it that Anne did not call a doctor to come in and check up on him? Like, he's getting worse and worse, like I said in the beginning. He's not feeling better. This is from the 6th that he was feeling terrible. So you took 5 days of this man getting worse and worse and still did not call a professional in to check on him. So basically they were questioning that, like, why would you not call a doctor if your husband is getting worse and worse? Like, even on the 7th, you should have been like, okay, let's just go to the doctor. Okay, let's get somebody professional on this case. Either way, they buried him on the 12th, which was pretty quick. He died on the 11th. They buried him on the 12th. That is fast. Do people even get buried that fast nowadays? I don't even think so. Doesn't it take like a week, maybe a couple of days? And I used to live in Jamaica and it would take a while. I think it took like maybe a couple of weeks to a month. It used to take a while, but dang, back then it took one day. Let's just throw him in the dirt. He's gone. Let's just shovel him up in the dirt. Okay, so basically they spoke to everybody, right? They spoke to the neighbor. They spoke to the housekeeper. They spoke to the brother. But sorry about that. If you heard a noise in the background, the ice maker was making ice at this time and scared the shit out of me. Anyway. So, like I was saying, they spoke to everybody, but after they done put this man in the ground, he is buried, he's put away, March 12th, that's it. Kilpatrick, who was the neighbor, decided to change her testimony and say that actually, and she saw Anne buying arsenic on February the 28th. Now, one thing, if you are a true crime fan, you know that arsenic was like the number one poison back in the day, back in the 1800s, that they were using to kill people. So let's get into what this arsenic is talking about. Okay, so then they asked Anne, "So, ma'am, I heard you bought some arsenic. What's up with that?" So then she was saying that she actually bought it because Stan wanted to, you know, kill some rats in the cellar. So they bought it to get rid of the rats. But yeah, your husband's dead. Okay. Your husband is dead as of March 11, when you purchase arsenic on February 28th, so bullshit, we're going to go exhume this body, which is what they did. And sure enough, on March 13th, Anne was arrested for the murder of her husband. These people are moving fast. Wow, this is amazing. They are moving quickly. Don't it always take like time nowadays? Things take time. When somebody's buried, it takes a while to get the body exhumed. Everything takes months, years. Let me just keep you up on how quickly things are happening back in 1858, okay? Okay, so basically, they found out that he was killed by arsenic poisoning because they spoke with the druggist and they spoke with Dr. J.D. Goodrich. And basically, the druggist testified that a single crystal was found under a microscope. And the doctor said that he felt like Stan was poisoned. So therefore, after everything is said and done, they concluded that Stan died from arsenic poisoning, and therefore Anne was put to trial on May the 23rd. Also, correction, John Walker is her nephew. Her nephew, not her brother. I apologize. So that is her nephew. So they felt like, you know, she purchased the arsenic. She had means to kill her husband. And she was also having relations with her nephew, John Walker. Okay, so those were the three main arguments that they had against Anne. And all of that was taken into consideration by the prosecution, by the prosecutor, I guess we can say, Isaac Hurd. So basically they were talking to, you know, Kilpatrick, who's the neighbor. They were getting most of their information from her, like everything that they needed to, you know, determine what Anne was doing. They were getting all that information from her. So she was their main eyewitness. They were also taking a lot of information from the housekeeper, of course, because she was the one actually in the household, Rosa. So basically, Rosa was saying that Anne would like treat Stan not as a husband is supposed to be treated. She said that, you know, she was having the affair with her nephew, which I spoke about before. She was like fixing his meals separate from everybody else's meals. She was washing the dishes and utensils separately. I mean, girl, if that ain't fishy, I don't know what is. Like, you're just telling on yourself. Like, you're washing the dishes separately. You're feeding this man separate food. Come on. That has guilty written all over it. Okay? But let's not judge. But it's saying that basically all of this stuff was happening. You know? She was looking pretty guilty. She was looking pretty guilty. So they said that, you know, her having the affair with her nephew was like one of the biggest motives for her to want to kill her husband. So they were like, yep, that affair, that's number one right there for sure. So basically, like I said, she was looking extremely guilty based on all of these testimonies. So after, on June 3rd, you know, an all male, they made sure to tell you that it was all male, no women. I don't know when they started putting women on the jury, but an all male jury decided that she was guilty within 6 hours. So after hearing that she is guilty, it is said this woman did not show not an ounce of remorse, not an ounce of emotion. It's like, meh, you know, yeah, whatever, I'm guilty, that's fine. So she went to jail. You know, they tried to make, you know, get her another trial, but that was declined. And then they tried to, basically her defendants, whatever, they tried to, you know, see to it that she did not get the death penalty, but that was also declined. She went to jail, of course, because, you know, you got to go to jail for, you know, while they figure out what they're going to do with you. She was in jail, and on July 25th, she escaped. And who did she run to? Come on, y'all. This is a quiz. She went to her nephew, of course. If that's the answer you had, you were correct. If you had something else, you're not listening. Go back to the beginning and listen to what I'm saying. Who's she going to go to during all of this? The one person that she was having the affair with, right? Her husband's dead now. So she's going to go to who she was having the affair with, because apparently that's who she killed her husband about. So that's who she going to go to. If you did not get that answer, pause, go back to the beginning and listen again, because you're not listening. Okay. So like a dingbat, because she's been doing everything in a very dingbat manner. She went to him, like I said, and she was caught in his company, at his house, out and about, wherever the hell. They caught her with him on August the 1st. So that was about maybe a good 5, 6, 7 days. And then they caught her because she's so smart. So again, on December 22nd, Anne was in court and she says, and I quote, before I quote what she said, she basically is saying that she is innocent. Okay. And this is what she says, and I quote, "If I die in this case, I die an innocent woman. I don't think I have had a fair and just trial." End of quote. So the first governor who was on the case at the moment did not want to set up an execution date. So he waited and waited until his license or his term had expired at the end of 1959. So once that happened, another governor took over, Alexander Ramsey, and this governor set her execution for March the 23rd, 1860. Before that had happened, though, they did try very hard to see to it that she did not die by the death penalty. Her defendants did try their best. On the 18th, they had a bill introduced to prohibit execution, but that got vetoed. That got tabled. I'm sorry. And then they also tried to put in efforts to end capital punishment, but that was rejected shortly after they tried that. So after Governor Ramsey, you know, put it down like, okay, March the 23rd, 1960 is going to be her execution date. The state legislature passed another bill that tried to say that, you know, on March the 5th, they passed this bill and they tried to basically say that execution in the state of Minnesota should not be that of a woman. The first one, because this is the very first one they're going to do. And it should not be that of a woman. And it should also, you know, they should reconsider everything with Anne because she did not get a fair trial. You know, everything is, you know, not looking great for her. She didn't get a fair trial. She didn't really get to, you know, state any points of hers. But unfortunately, that bill was vetoed. It was vetoed. Okay, mind you, Anne's execution is hanging. She is going to be the first woman to be executed as a white person in Minnesota, death by hanging. Okay, so on the date of March the 23rd, 1860, maybe have I been saying 19 at some point in here? I do apologize. We the way back. We're back in the 1800s. So 1860, gallows were set in the courthouse. Everything was set up to, you know, execute the plan of execution. And basically, Anne requested a private execution. But around this time, at this point in history, basically public execution was what was mainly done, and this was for a civil and religious purpose to show people that this is what happened when you commit certain crimes, and also to demonstrate the danger of sin. When you're a sinful, hateful, criminal person, you deserve to die by public execution, basically is what they're saying. And therefore, this is set up as a demonstration of that. So, of course, Han had her last words in which she says, and I quote, "I die without having had any mercy shown to me or justice. I die for the good of my soul and not for murder. Your court of justice are not courts of justice, but I will yet get justice in heaven." End of quote. So around 100 people were there to watch her getting executed. Okay, so 100 people, like I said, were inside the enclosure, and maybe a couple more, like a couple thousands, were outside of the enclosure to watch her being hung. She was hanging for 20 minutes before they took her down, took her body down, and buried it in an unmarked grave in Calvary Cemetery. Okay, so that is the end of that. Going back to what I said about things just, they be handling business back then, you know? She killed her husband in the year of 1958, right? The only reason we had to wait until the end of 1859 is because the governor did not want to, you know, set up an execution. So he waited until his little term expired. So when the new governor came on now in 1860, he immediately set a date up, March 23rd. Let's get this over with. Let's get this done. You know, so what's that? It took less than 2 years for them to take this lady off of death row, hang her ass up, put her in the dirt. Okay. Yet nowadays we have people sitting on death row for years and years and years and years. Some of them 10, 20, 30 years. Why? If you're supposed to die, let's go back to the 1860s and do what we got to do and put you where you need to be. It's already finalized death penalty. What's the holdup? We're paying to feed these people. We're paying to keep these people alive when they are set to die. What is the holdup? Back in the 1860s, they stood on business. They stood on business and they got things done ASAP. We need to go back to that, okay? The man died. They figured out who did it. They put her ass in the jail. Everything was snip, snap, quick. Next day business. Next day's bit, like they were standing on business back then. Okay. Everything was quick. Let's get this done. Okay. Let's go back to that. Especially for these criminals, these pedophiles, you know, anybody that hurts children, whatever the situation may be, anybody that hurt children, I really think they should all receive some damn death penalty for real. Cause of all criminals there are out there, somebody that hurts children, to me, that's my number one. I hate those people. Okay. But like I said, we need to stand on business. Why are these people so long on this death row? Like, come on, let's go back to the 1800s. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Let's get it done. All right. So that is the end of the execution of Anne Belinsky for the murder of her husband, Stan Belinsky, by by arsenic poisoning. Okay. There was also a stage play by Jeffrey Acher called A Piece of Rope that was done in March 2000. Y'all can look that up if you're interested, so you can see how that goes. But yeah, once again, thank you so much for listening. I have decided that I will actually do one story, one case per date. If a date comes back up, the same date, we'll just do one story per date. That way we can be more focused on that case. You know, we can talk more about it instead of having to, you know, rush through because we're trying to do two other people's cases. No, we're going to take our time and we're going to discuss one case per day. So like I said, this date was March the 23rd, 1960, when the first woman in Minnesota was set to be hung. She was the first woman to receive the death penalty. So yeah, one case. We're going to do one case, okay? Thank you all so much for listening once again. To keep up with when episodes come out, to keep up with everything, whichever platform that you are listening on, please subscribe on that platform. Hit the follow button. Also, rate 5 stars. I will take a 4, but I will not take less than that. Okay? It's a free country. You can do what you want. But don't give me 3 stars. Okay. So, like I said, the link for all the podcasts, the TikTok, the Instagram, the Facebook will be in the description for this audio. Please click on the link. Join the social medias. Follow the podcast platform. That way you can be aware of when a new episode is out, which, since we're doing one case, is going to be by... semi-weekly. I'm going to try to do this semi-weekly. So we have a Sunday, and then we're going to try to do a Wednesday as well. So Sundays and Wednesdays. But if you shall yet forget, that is why you're going to hit that follow button, so that you will be aware as soon as the episode is available to be listened. Okay. Thank you all so much for listening. I appreciate you guys so much. I am your number one fan. And also, if you saw the quote, I came up with a quote, you guys. And basically it says, true crime is not for you to live in fear, but for you to be aware. You know, because a lot of times people tend to think that, you know, we're talking about these murders because we want you to be scared. We want you to go outside and just be scared, just clutch your purse, just be scared. But that's not the case. We want you to go out into the world and enjoy your life. Just be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of things that could be happening around you. You know, that's what true crime is all about. You will listen to these cases and you will do better, because you will notice that something happened to somebody because they did such and such. And you will know better. You know, you can see how much better you can protect yourself in these situations. Okay. Because anything can happen to anyone at any time. But like I said, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you guys so much. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you guys next time. Subscribe. Follow. And have a great day.